I'm gonna tell you what I've been listening to last week with all the hip hop news and shit. I've been listening to it reminded me of a song I really, really love by Brandy off the first album. Miss Janelle, you'll be familiar. Always on my mind. And I just felt like these niggas had each other on their mind for a long time. Like it was, the bridge is, I think the bridge goes a little something, no matter how far and no matter how wide. I promise, baby, that I'll stay by your side. 'Cause in my mind, I see it, and I just can't seem to shake it. I'm like, oh yeah, this sound like what's going on. They so in love with each other. You got motherfuckers apologizing. You got motherfuckers not using direct names, but everybody know who he talking about. Then you got old niggas coming back and rapping. It's just.
You got niggas sizing niggas up, talking about their foot size and their stature. You got niggas talking about a nigga that he used to fuck with. Y'all knew he got the BBL. And now y'all talk about how the shit don't work no more. Y'all talking about
this is not the beef I grew up on. I don't understand this shit.
It's hey man.
Did C Major just remove himself from the
He
hole?
did. He
Oh
said,
man.
"Yoink."
Yoink, yoink, yoink. My apologies, Miss Janelle. I wanted to have music queued up. I wanted us to do a whole lyrical breakdown. I have the notes. But let's start with actual hip hop news. Like, this isn't the Ja News segment. We'll get into Ja News a little bit later. This is the green room, but it was so hip hop. This past week and a half has been so hip hop that it's just infiltrated the green room. Nobody cares what I did this week, for real. I mean, don't have nothing specific to highlight besides coming up to the DMV, seeing you. CNC Major and his lovely fiance, and visiting some cool peoples and getting some business done because around this time it's always the business, it's the tax season for me. I wait till I like to push it. If I could have got an appointment on the 13th, Miss Janelle, I would have been there on the 13th because it's never good for me. Like I'm going in
It's always bad news.
with a checkbook ready, you know what I'm saying? So my man, I actually wound up booking my tax appointment on the preparer's birthday. See, I made my appointment back in January. I don't play around. And he said, "Yeah, I usually take this week off, but when I saw who it was, I told them I really like y'all, so they could keep their appointment." I was like, "That's love, yeah. That's love." He's like, "Well, yeah, I said, "I don't come in here. You tell me what it is, and it's what it is. I might crack a few jokes. I might talk about, that was the dumb decision." Like, he'll look at some papers, which,
And be like, "Are
and
you
he,
sure?"
right. He'll turn around and be like, "For real? You ain't. I told you last time." And I'm like, I know, man.
My
I
Dukes
know.
is more gentle. That's who I deal with.
Oh,
And
you
then
go to mom's?
I brought the homie in on it. She was like, "Oh, more people to the family." So she took some bills off of me because I bring her business.
Yeah, she gotta know that you stretched out. Like, I don't know if I ever told them that you was the one. I gotta make sure you get credit for bringing me in. My mom goes there now. Like, all a lot of us go there. So I make sure you get your full reparations. What is it?
Hey
Referral
man,
fee or whatever it is, man.
whatever can contribute to my bill.
Right? Because, sheesh. Then I had some papers. So I get back from my appointment last year to mail that was important for last year's taxes.
Of course. Why not? Why wouldn't you?
So I bring that, I whip that out at like he's finishing 2023, and I said, "Well, about 2022." So I had these waiting on me when I got back last year, and just wanted to see what you could do about that. He's like, "Come on!" I said, "You see the date on them? Like,
Hey,
I thought it was supposed to. I thought everything was supposed to be delivered by a certain time. So it wasn't me. It was the businesses that published those. You know, that's supposed to send that shit out. They fucked up, not me. All right, let me find these quotes here. I wasn't expecting Rick Ross to be in the middle of this beef. That's what I wasn't expecting.
What I'm hearing is that Rick Ross dipped his toe because Drake did some foul stuff in regards to French Montana, who Rick, I guess, is close with. This is what I'm hearing. You know, I don't pay none of these niggas no mind, so I don't know if these are facts. But, it's interesting to watch. And then I see people talking about, whoa, why is everybody against Drake now? And I'm like, if you look at Drake's track record, he's been on some bullshit for a long time.
I feel like people are just now figuring out that Drake is really an asshole.
Yeah.
Whereas a few people have, I mean, if you pay attention to the way people respond around him over time, like whether they were cool in the beginning, where is the relationship now? Mm-hmm. I just don't see him kicking it with the same people. Even though he proclaimed no new friends,
right?
I still don't see him kicking it with the same people he entered the game with. And that can be said about a lot of rappers. I'm not, I don't want to like just isolate Drake in this whole situation, but it feels like every relationship he's been in has soured. And I'm one of those people that believe if everybody is everybody can't be wrong. Everybody you deal with can't just be on some bullshit. Like, you gotta have some ownership over your bullshit in these relationships as well. Okay, here's one thing that pissed me off. Here's one thing I highlighted that kind of pissed me off. In Drake's diss record, he says, SZA got you wiped down, Travis got you wiped down, Savage got you wiped down, like your label boy, your Interscope right now. Like, I do appreciate the Interscope reference. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that bar. But what SZA had to do with it?
Well,
why SZA?
You know, the easy target, the easy go-to is always misogyny. So that's step one.
I just hate that.
He's a like, weirdo SZA nigga.
Minding her business, not... Like, why you had to do that? That just, okay, misogyny. All right. That's a sign of a weak nigga to me, personally. Like, were you pulling other, just random people? Whether it's a woman or not, you just got my name in some shit, and I'm just minding my business. This is coming off a Grammy win. She, whatever she was doing.
Yeah.
This wasn't on her to-do list. To answer or be a part of this bullshit. You know what I'm saying? That was weak to me. One line that I did appreciate from Drake when he was going at Kendrick was the reference to all the... Well, no. I'm sorry. One line... I didn't appreciate it. I just found it... It came off as jealousy.
Mm.
The line where he's attacking Kendrick about dropping a bar on Maroon 5. Doing a joint for Taylor Swift. So, okay, here's the bar. Maroon 5 need a verse. You better make it witty. Then we need a verse for the Swifties. Top say you drop. You better drop and give up 50. Did he want a song with Taylor? Is this what this is coming down to? Did he want a song with Maroon 5?
I could see that because you're not... when people are saying that you are not the epitome of hip hop. What did Yasiin Bey say about him? Like, he was,
what did he likened him to shopping at Target or something like that.
Right.
I remember that shit.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? So it's like, you
I could get this anywhere. Right.
Yeah. And so I could see him in that, in lashing out, trying to diminish a person's place in hip hop. Like I said, you know, I'm glad you listened because I don't have to.
I didn't listen. These are people. I mean, I listened. No, I did listen. But people have taken the time to dissect, and I'm using their notes as opposed to me pulling out or trying to remember some shit.
Because my thing is, I wouldn't have nothing to talk about on this. Like, this shit is so. I'm like, oh shit, Mr. C passed. So then I'm bringing up old Big Daddy Kane. And
no, we're going to get, no, trust me, we're going to give Rico and Mr. C their time.
Right. 100%. So that's where I was. So hearing this, like I said, I saw a couple tweets, you know, in regards to Rick Ross. And my thing is, you know, the streets have been watching Drake for a long time, pointing out that he's a lame loser and a weirdo in many other aspects. And, you know, when those things get brought up, a lot of times people will revert to, well, he sells and he does this and he, okay, cool. But again, like we said, this dude is a Bama. He's a problem. Like you said, Grease, like we've been talking about it for a long time, dropping the dick pics, dropping the, you know, we long since talked about him texting and being in the inbox with 11.
Mm-hmm.
We've been talked about how predatory he is, you know, like in his dealings with exotic dancers and his dealings with his own baby mom and his dealings with, we've seen and pointed out and discussed where he shows himself not to be a stand-up man. The fact that now, you know, his peers in the game are saying something to him. Still not about his character as a human being, but
no.
You know, I see a lot of people like, when I say a lot, it's like 7, because my timeline is real curated. But like, you know, people making him out to be like a victim at this time. No, nigga, people gonna say something to you. You the man. This is what happens to the man.
Yeah. Yeah, nah. You go into you.
No, please. I've been waiting on the rapper of the show.
Smiling? I like it. Let's do it. Fuck it.
Nah, because, like, I listened to the Drake Joan one time with, like, a grain of salt, because everything I seen around it was saying, was whispering AI. Although, listening to it to the one time, it was a... Unless, you know, AI is forever evolving, but it was a lot of Drake mannerisms that I would find hard for AI to recreate, just even with just enunciation, vocal tone, and shit like that. It didn't necessarily move me the first time, but I keep it a stack. None of these niggas' actual disses or responses towards Kendrick really moved me. The hardest shit that moved me thus far was a song off the Cole joint, that which he said nothing about Kendrick, but he just rapped better than all of them niggas, and also had niggas from Kendrick's camp who I'm still daring niggas to find me a Kendrick song where he had a verse as hard as any niggas on Pie from Might Delete This Later.
I like that.
Niggas commented some shit. I listened to them. They not it. But so, like, right now, thus far, the direct attacks aren't really doing it for me. I'm just listening to how niggas rapping from now on. What you gonna do now? Because at the end of the day, that's really, at least for the Kendrick side, that's what it's all about. Metro and Future, whatever they and they feelings about, you know. But shit, but you know, you're not spending your time to diss them and try to show them bar for bar that you're better. You don't have to. You can drop them a little line and, you know what I'm saying, that's it. So yeah, I'm moving forward looking to see how niggas rapping, because
I'm with you. I'm with you. I don't agree with, nor do I condone any of this beef, because it's not beef. It's not hip hop beef. This isn't. These are two guys who these are a bunch of guys that really fuck with each other, that really love each other deep down inside, and
wait.
We're witnessing the breakups of several relationships and men trying to cope with it. This isn't rap beef. This isn't hip hop beef. This is you hurt my feelings. Yeah, this is lost of friendship. This is damn, like, you really hurt me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm hearing dudes pour out their emotions in ways on these songs that they've never done over a woman. This is, yes, exactly.
First time in a long time.
Yep. Shirt flew open, the six pack. You in the desert.
100%.
First time in a long time.
All of that. Yeah. Just come. Trust me. Hey.
Watch my back even when I'm
Kendrick. Just come hold me again. You know what I'm saying? I don't mind being a little spoon for you. You know what I'm saying?
I miss when we used to smile.
What happened to the smiles? What happened to the long conversations in the stew?
Just tell me it can't be that crazy.
I would roll your weed.
Yo. Miss Janelle with both hands.
You would roll mine.
Not you.
You know what I'm saying?
I just want
that old thing back. You know what I'm saying?
Cause I'm wavy and I'm saying things that
I just want you to hold me the way you used to hold me. I wanna.
Sorry, and you're crying.
When we used to go to the club and had the sections, I just.
Get in my mind. I'm supposed to.
I really want you to.
For the first time.
Love me the way you used to love me. I want to be vulnerable with you.
First time.
I want to.
Time.
I want us to touch fingertips like we used to. Remember when we both used to reach for the knobs in the stew? Because I'm like, nah, bruh, turn your verse up.
Yeah.
And you're like, nah, turn mine up. You know, no, turn yours up. You know what I'm saying? And I would give you tips on your ad libs. I made your hook fly. When I said I gave you, I'm the only one that you got number ones with, I was lying. I'm just hurt.
Trust who? Trust me.
I remember Hustle. I remember.
Man came straight to me.
I wasn't on that first album, Ricky, but I miss you.
Rock dirty like Pimp C. You a real 10 speed freak.
Oh, not a 10-speed freak.
The 10-speed freak.
Yeah. I'm with you, C-Major. Overall, get to rapping. J. Cole right now is winning. I'm with you, C-Major, 100%. Yeah. Nobody is throwing bars out there on a consistent basis like Jay. So everybody else needs to stop with this nonsense and get to rapping. But I feel like the value of hip-hop music has depleted and decreased in such a way that we're not going to get these bars like that. You're going to get a few like J. Cole. Other than that, we're not going to get it.
The criteria for this tear is just the open pride. Hoping cries, but so can I drop the unprovoking crimes. Pray to the heaven God with no disguise. We roll the dice and hope the soul of tie. Reap the fruit with no bow tie. Sensitive Pisces, still thugging, baby. Ain't afraid to cry. Skinny Biggie, lenses tinted, ain't got no lazy eye. Heart of gold, almost sold it in Saudi Arabia. Quill told me the clouds ain't real. God gotta paint the sky. So I'm a student of Sophia Stewart. The Matrix ain't a lie. Tainted gods fall from the sky. Tie an inception. When you wake inside this dream, you a weapon. Step in the cipher. Know the beef real. Your life at stake. Ages with each meal. Real estate.
Okay.
C-Major.
Cut it out. C-Major. We got a show to do. And I'm how am I supposed to walk through the rest of the day with these bars on my brain? I'm not gonna be productive.
I'm bars. About to go. You got bars on the brain.
I'm barred up now.
Hey, calling out for work because you barred up.
I'm barred up. Sorry, Terry. I can't work today. I've been barred up. I've been barred up. All right. In other hip hop news and major hip hop news, we lost two legends of the game. Absolute legends. Mr. C and Rico Way. You want to start with Mr. C? Let me pull up his fucking, because I don't think enough people know what he's about. Let me pull up his discography.
The thing about DJ Mr. C, we talk about what people mean to hip hop, and often it gets stuck with the MC. DJ Mr. C, for what he did, like if he had never even, you know, he's credited with bringing us Notorious B.I.G.
First thing on the list, Ready to Die. Because it's the most, you know, recognized piece of work that he worked on.
What he did for hip hop radio in New York. Here's the thing. When you think about the culture, the value of its culture is its mobility. The value of it is its ability to reach people that it normally wouldn't reach, to transcend eras, to grow. And Mr. C was pivotal with that element of the movement. It's just, it's tough for hip hop. It's tough for New York. It's tough for, I mean, if you over 40, whether you knew it or not, if you're over 40 and you're a hip hop fan, whether you knew it or not, Mr. C was influential in your fandom. And that's just, it's just tragic. And then on a slight, you know, on a separate note, losing these black folks so young, it's a lot for me. I'm sorry. I'm usually more eloquent, I think, but
no, it's like, all good. I got his wiki pulled up right now, and to piggyback off the losing hip hop legends this young, it goes to show, it kind of reiterates the notion of some type of union, some type of something that needs to be in place in hip hop for our living legends, even the rappers and hip hop artists of all types, whether it's graffiti, dance, DJing, whatever your particular niche is within the hip hop culture, we need something to protect our legends for, you know, as they age in hip hop. We just don't have things in place to help with the aging of our hip hop artists. Mr. C was born in Bedford-Stuyvesant, Brooklyn. He's a native. He met DJ Knight and the Knights of Hollywood. He learned how to DJ from them. In high school, he met Big Daddy Kane, became his DJ. So all of those Big Daddy Kane hits that you heard, that we heard growing up in junior high and high school, Mr. C was a part of that. His most notable work, like we said, was with Notorious B.I.G. on the Ready to Die album. But he was also a member of the Juice Crew. He was a member of Flipmo Squad. Like he had his hands in a lot of different eras of hip hop.
Yeah.
It was just, he broke the Trap Queen record for Fetty Wap. Like, so here you have this, like, when we talk about legendary status and what somebody brings to the table in terms of hip hop, Mr. C was always around. You may not be familiar with the name, but a lot of his actions, a lot of things you heard were a result of what he did and what he
always advancing the culture.
100%
advancing the culture.
Alicia Keys has been quoted as saying that Mr. C is a person that she looked up to and was an influence during her career. He was part of Flipmo Squad, which I said, which also included Mark Ronson. So you could just see how all of this stuff is intertwined. Like, he was the man. He was the man. Every life has some indiscretions about it, and his was not short of that. But I feel like out of all of our hip hop artists, he was one that moved and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I felt like his addressing those issues was very mature, if that makes sense, especially for the time. Mm-hmm. When the allegations and things were popping up, he moved. He kept working. He kept moving. Mm-hmm. It didn't stop him from moving. And it was just rest in peace. Rest in peace. Rest in peace to Mr. C. Now, Rico Wade. The biggest song, the one thing that I recall, my biggest memory of Rico Wade is him talking about how the Dungeon family got the opportunity to write a song for En Vogue and how that production happened.
His vision on that.
His vision. Because it was completely his vision. You know, he had musicians in the studio with him. He heard, he saw the melody. He saw how it was supposed to go. And the song is What's It Gonna Be, right?
Mm-hmm.
What my favorite En Vogue record of all time. It is my favorite En Vogue record of all
time. Their most popular internationally.
Yes. It also fell in line timing-wise with a young boy group by the name of Mista, which Rico and the Dungeon family had a hand in. Musically, that Mista album is probably, hands down, the best album that dropped that year. But you're not gonna, whatever label issues that the group had, whatever, you just didn't see a lot of them. You saw two singles from that album and they kind of disappeared. But I wanted to highlight those songs in particular because we know Outkast. We know what the Dungeon family did with Outkast and rap.
Hell dogs.
Yes.
Nothing but them lax.
Yeah. Yeah. And a visionary. Someone who experimented with hip hop, experimented with funk, experimented with soul. And we would never have gotten any of those hits. I believe he was part of the soul of the Dungeon family. So rest in peace to Rico Wade.
Absolutely.
Oh, man. Anything else we need to speak on about Rico or Mr. C? Ms. Janelle, I just want to.
Yeah, not anything I'm ready to speak on right now, man.
Okay.
Cause you get into the music, we could be here. It'd be a 5-hour show. Niggas would tap out.
I mean, when I heard the news, we were on our way back to Georgia. We were driving back down and I heard the news and I shared it with Gerasmo and she was just like, no. And like Gerasmo is not, she's a music head. Don't, like, she's one of them. she, if she really fucks with some music, she will do, she's one of those that wants to see who's in the line of those. You know, she mm-hmm. wanna, she like us, like, okay, who's this
guy? Who did this? Yeah.
So when I shared the news with her, it was an immediate reaction. Like, oh my gosh, like not Rico. Like, you, and I don't know, it just felt like we grew up with these guys. Mm-hmm. It just, I feel like I never met him, but I feel like I party with a nigga like Rico at the club. The you know what I'm saying? Like, the I just girl. It hurts on a deeper level, man. It really does. Yeah. And again, young, 52. What are we? 52?
Don't make no sense, man.
Any key things you want to bring up, C Major, about Organized Noise, Rico Wave, Mr. C? Anything you want to add?
I mean, I know too much about them personally? No, but to be a part of basically a pillar in hip hop, especially for Southern hip hop, to which Outkast and Organized Noise heavily, they influenced me to this day. I'm still biting hooks and cadences to this day. Like, it's it is what it is. Some of my rhyme schemes are influenced from what I heard. So, like, I definitely, the impact was felt. And like I said, to not know that Mr. Wade was a part of it personally, but figuring that out, you know, all peace and respect to him. And, you know, how old was he? He was young as well.
I want to say he was in his 50s as well. Let me go back to that page. I'll tell you. Yeah, youngsters.
Yeah.
57. Yeah.
Yeah, man. I'm trying to see in hip hop, just in life, I'm trying to see old black men. Trying mm-hmm. to see black men get to their 70s, 80s. You know what I mean? Like, this is it's tough, man.
Yeah, definitely tough. Definitely tough. Like I said, rest in peace to both Rico and Mr. C. Condolences to their families, friends, associates in hip hop. I saw yesterday and Friday a flooding of posts regarding Rico Wade. I saw a flooding of posts on the 10th. When mm-hmm. Mr. C passed, and it just reiterated how much impact these gentlemen had on the culture. Because I'm thinking, oh yeah, you know, somebody will post something. I'm like, oh yeah, they did work together on that. Mm-hmm. Or, oh yeah, I did see him with such and such. Not that I needed to reconcile why this person was posting something, right. But it all makes sense. Like, we're all interconnected, especially if you're a fan of hip hop. And you grew up with it like we did. You just, it was just one of those, it was almost like a little history lesson the past week and a half of just how mm-hmm. integrated these two were in the music scene. So rest in peace to those gentlemen. Let's get into, did anybody want to talk about their week? What's going on? Or do we want to just jump right into Jai News? Ms. Janelle's like, get me the fuck out of here. So let's do it. I love that. I love when Ms. Janelle's like, I mean, what you want to do? Because
my week was not action packed at all.
Let's start with some petty business real quick. Pharrell and Chad locked in a legal dispute over Neptune's name rights. I want Chad to get all the things.
Mm-hmm.
I personally have noticed that things under the Neptune's name have not been hitting or slapping as hard as they used to. And then when you dig a little closer into the liner notes, you'll see that it's, I only see Pharrell's name.
Mm.
Okay. this in no way discredits Pharrell's abilities or capabilities as a musician or a producer. He's fire. But there's something missing when Chad's not involved. I don't know if this is part of this dispute, but I want Chad to get his things. I feel like Chad has never been the one of the duo to be in the spotlight, to want to be famous. I think based on his interactions with media and things of that nature, he's kept a very low profile. But those early Neptune hits, there was a sound, there was a hit, there was a snare, there was something that was just a little more forceful, a little more grab your attention. And I would like to preserve, if I were Chad, I would like to preserve Neptune shit to that sound. I don't want my partner going off to do solo things under the guise of Neptunes and it don't fit the Neptunes catalog. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, when I Google Neptunes, I want the slaps to show up. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I feel like this has something to do with that. But let me read a little bit. Pharrell and producer Chad Hugo, who together formed a prolific songwriting duo, the Neptunes, are now battling each other in legal dispute over the group's name after Hugo accused William of fraudulently seeking sole control over the trademark. Before Williams was a solo star, the Neptunes produced a slew of radio hits in the early 2000s. This is back when the club was jumping.
Yes.
And they had...
What a time.
They had a few summers on lock. Like, Ms. Janelle, you and I both know. These joints here, you know, hits in the early 2000s, including Nelly's Hot in Here, Snoop Dogg's Drop It Like It's Hot. When Drop It Like It's Hot came out... Gwen Stefani's Holla Back Girl, Justin Timberlake's Rock Your Body, the legendary duo who have been friends since childhood were inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame in 2022. Now, the songs that they just mentioned, you could tell this kind of skews young.
Yeah.
Because there's no Nori in here. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, okay, yeah, those were bangers, but where's the Nori shit? Where's the 702 shit? Where's the...
Right.
Like, it's some shit. They got some shit. Where's the Khalees shit? Like,
yes.
Okay. But in a legal action filed last week, or I think at this point, it's probably 2 weeks ago, at a federal tribunal, attorneys for Hugo accused Pharrell and his company of attempting to unilaterally register trademarks for the Neptune's name, a move they say violates their longstanding agreement that saw the pair split everything equally. Mm-hmm. That's a no-no. Can't do that. Throughout their over 30-year history, Hugo and Williams agreed to and, in fact, have divided all assets, wrote Hugo's attorney, Kenneth D. Freundlich. I'm going to guess. A prominent music industry litigator. By ignoring and excluding Hugo from the any and all applications filed by applicant for the mark, the Neptunes, the applicant has committed fraud in securing the trademarks and acting in bad faith. I'm with him.
Yeah.
If everything that we see in here is true, I'm with him. Get him, Chad. Absolutely. I'm with that. Get your money. All right. Let's move on. Oh, by the way, have you heard Justin's album, Ms. Janelle?
Nope.
A lot of no's. I've been asking people randomly.
Been doing a little temperature check.
I've been doing a little temperature check, yeah. Between Justin and Usher, yeah, it's not a lot of people. I don't hear. It's summer down. Like, it's getting close to summer. The windows are down here. You know what I'm hearing bumping out of the speakers?
What's coming out the trucks?
Classics. 90s R&B. It's a lot of Miss Janelle playlists getting rocked out here.
If you heard me with my windows down yesterday, you would hear Mellow Smooth, Maxwell.
A lot of I heard somebody was bumping Maxwell Get to Know You, and I was like, wait a minute, these horns are hard as shit. Yo. Let me go pull this shit out. But yeah, not a lot of new Usher, not a lot of new Justin, not a lot of new anything, really.
Hey, man.
But okay. Anyway, I just wanted to. Now, did we do this? I can't remember if we did this one or not. And for those of you who are not on Patreon, shame on you.
Oh, man.
Shame on you. You should really go ahead. It's $5 a month. Like, I don't want to sound like a privileged asshole, but it's $5 a month. Patreon.com. Search for Reels and Feels so you can see what we're looking at right here. This is nuts.
This is nuts. Exactly.
Drake shows off.
In a whip solo.
Okay. I can see how May just working today.
You can put your phone down, you're gonna need two hands. You can't get
now up. Is that Static Major singing?
Yeah.
I hate that Static is, rest in peace Static. I hate that he's being used in this way, but it's fitting. So Drake shows off his new $25,000 heart pendant he's given out to Sexy Red, J. Cole, 21 Savage, and Aiden Ross for never switching up. He's given a nutsack with veins on it.
Because if it's a heart, you're not holding it like that.
No, you're supposed to hold it the other way. Yeah. Why is the chain piece not
supposed to be?
This is wrong. This is all wrong. And I feel like one nut is lower than the other. I feel like this was a cast of his balls.
Everything about that is a scrotum. Everything about it.
I feel like he squatted ever so gently into a bucket of some type of substance
to cast.
And, yes. I feel like he teabagged a bucket of
plaster
or something that would mold this pendant. That's what it looks like. So, all right, let's move on. Let's move on.
I wasn't ready for that right there.
I told you it's been a while, so I was picking and choosing. I wanted to make a fun show if I could. So, Missy Elliott to embark on first headlining tour ever. I saw that headline and I was like, are you fucking serious? I didn't know this was her first headlining tour ever.
As hot as she was for as long as she was, that fun fact is crazy.
Now, I did see a couple of people writing, enough with the trailers for your tour. Okay.
Mm.
And I saw that and I didn't know what they were talking about until I saw the trailer for this tour. I didn't know artists were making trailers for their tour.
They aren't. But okay. Missy's always been many years ahead.
That's what I thought. I haven't seen anybody else make a trailer like this, and big money was spent on this. But look at the costumes here. Look at Ciara. Like, this is some Mad Max shit.
Yeah,
that they on. Busta got dreads again. Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
One thing I will notice, I will state this, and this is a little bit of hate, and I admit to it. I saw where Busta was supposed to be coming to town sometime in the spring, and that show was canceled.
Mm-hmm.
And then this pops up, so I'm like, okay, I see what just happened. If I hop on this tour, the venue changes.
Yes.
So the venue that he was supposed to come to, I like the venue because there are some seats. It's upstairs and you kind of away from the others. Mm-hmm. But it's you can get more of these when you tour with Missy. They moved it to the arena. You know, now he's performing at the arena. And I'm sure this lineup is actually fucking dope. If you really think about the hits between the three of these artists. Like this mm-hmm. is a this is a fun show. This would be Absolutely. A very fun show to attend. Sierra, Missy Elliott, Busta Rhymes, just countless hits on hits on hits.
Hits on hits on hits with people who were masters of the visual. Like you gotta keep it funky. All three of them changed games with their videos. And people be like, huh, Sierra, for y'all young folks, if we got any young people listening, Sierra was able to sell a tape, a dance tape, to regular civilians who thought that they could be able to do what Sierra did if they watched it long enough. This is what we mean, where these people were masters of visuals. I'ma tell you what, you can call Sierra what you want, but on everything, the ride video,
yep,
the old video, mm-hmm. niggas got cars just in hopes that some woman would work their body on that car at some point.
So I got my car. Shit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Promise video. Like y'all, mm-hmm. y'all.
Yeah, you talking to the step. You preaching to the choir right now. Yeah.
Goodies, nigga.
I'm just saying, no, because I just seen people like, I get it with Missy and Bust. No, you get it with Sierra too.
Yeah, stop playing. Quit it. Cut it out.
What the fuck you mean?
Cut it out. Now, on the R&B side, I saw a tour. That's, I think they're outside right now. I want to say it already started, but you had Tank, Carrie Hilson, and what's my guy of Chicago? Wish I never knew it. Carl Thomas.
Oh, okay.
That's not a bad lineup either. Mm-mm. I feel like, and C Major, you skew a little older. I feel like you fuck with the. With that lineup too, yeah. Like that's a nice three pack of artists to go see. So I'm loving this three pack. Whatever's going on, whatever the trend is happening right now, I'm loving this because.
Shit. Well, as much as tickets are, you better be
hell yeah. That was my next point. Tickets are averaging $300 a pop. Anita Baker's back on tour. I thought her last tour was. Like the one I went to, that's why I went to it.
You thought it was the farewell.
I thought it was the farewell. But the prices for tickets are so astronomical. Why wouldn't you go back on tour? If the money is that good, why wouldn't you? The same ticket, same price, same exact seat for the Anita Baker show is now double what I paid for. Double. To get tickets in the 100 section of this local arena, you paying two and some change. I'm not talking about the floor. I'm talking about section 100.
100.
Two and some change. So you and you trying to do a date night, expect to pay about 5-6. Easy. I remember people talking about Beyonce and the prices and someone to blame her for kind of spearheading this type of increase, but if people are willing to pay for it, go get it.
Yeah.
So I would much rather pay two something a pop and see Sierra, Missy, and Busta instead of just one artist. That's
yeah.
me. And this kind of, I feel like they aiming this at us, Miss Janelle. We, mm-hmm. you know, our generation is slowly, we're supposed to be creeping into the times of our lives where we got this type of income to spend, this type of disposable income. But the reality is you're not seeing this lineup outside of some type of festival. And you and I have both spoken on how we never want to go to a festival. So this is kind of perfect. Mm-hmm. Give me three artists. I might drop the 300 to have a seat.
Mm-hmm.
To go get a cocktail or a glass of wine and enjoy this performance. So shout out to them for putting it together. I hope they're able to tour successfully and no egos get involved because this is
right.
This is dope. This is a dope lineup. All right, let's move on. Ex-NFL star Terrell Suggs arrested in Arizona after alleged Starbucks drive-thru incident. Former NFL linebacker Terrell Suggs have been arrested after allegedly threatening another man and showing a handgun during a dispute at Starbucks drive-thru. Let me tell you something. I go to Starbucks. I know people are boycotting them right now. I understand that. But while y'all boycotting them, the line is a lot shorter, and I'm able to go in there and get my oat milk espresso. So while y'all standing on business, it's made my commute, it's made my ability to get my espresso a lot simpler and a lot less stressful. I don't know. With that being said, and they do make a mean shake, brown sugar shaken espresso. I don't see nothing in Starbucks that's worth pulling the gun out.
This article made me so fucking mad because, Grease, you know, you work for Big Soda. You got shit to lose. I work for Little Construction in the D.C. area. I got shit to lose. Nigga, you are a former NFL. You are recognizable. And you look like a demon, so you super recognizable. Nigga. Number one, there's no reason for you to be mad. You're in your Range Rover picking up your... Nigga.
There's so much privilege in this article.
Yo!
You're a black man driving around with a gun.
With a gun?
You're a black man driving around in your Range Rover and a gun going to get a $12 something. A $12 drink. A $12 non-alcoholic drink. And you mad?
Think. Just think. This is so simple. And you were wrong. You backed into the person behind you. Yeah, you heated, but you really could have... said, pardon me, sir, handed him a stack of cash and went on about your business.
Yeah.
But you're pulling a gun. Now you...
He said, I was getting coffee. I was not looking for any trouble. When the man in the other vehicle escalated the situation, I feared for my safety, not knowing what his intentions were. Throughout the incident, I was the one who felt in danger while fearing I would be followed home and for the safety of my family nearby at my residence. The incident on March 10th began after a black Range Rover driven by Suggs passed the ordering speaker at Starbucks and had to back up to place his order, backing into the other vehicle. The police report said the other vehicle didn't receive any damage and both men got out of the car, got out of their vehicles and argued before returning and collecting their order. The one thing I hate about this, and I can kind of speculate, this is all speculation about how this happened, right? You back into me, I'm the victim, okay? You back into me, you get out first because obviously you're at fault, and I get out, I want to see what's going on. I'm heated because what are you doing? Why aren't you paying attention? What the fuck, man? Why aren't you paying attention? Man, ain't nothing wrong with your car. That's not the fucking point. This is speculation. Because I've overheard and I've actually been a part of some of these, you know, an incident similar to this. That's not the point. The point isn't that there's no damage to the car. The point is you decided to make a decision not taking anybody else into consideration. And because of that, now there potentially could be damage to my car. There's no damage that you can see, but we have no idea what's behind this bumper.
What you shook loose.
All of that.
Yeah.
That's just speculation. But being a part of an incident similar to this, that's how my conversation went. And I said, you know what? Just give me your insurance. Because if there's nothing wrong, then don't worry about it.
Right.
But if there is something wrong, then you'll hear from your insurance. Like, it's just keep it moving. Like, it doesn't have to be a back and forth. I'm irritated. You being irritated that I'm irritated is irritating me even more. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But to be in this position, stating that you feel, I don't know.
You fear for your life, but you still flip the driver off and threaten to kill him before you left.
A lot of this doesn't make sense. is all I'm saying.
And stuck the gun out the window.
That's because he's scared. You never seen a scared nigga before? I always put my gun out the window when I'm petrified.
Okay.
And given, and I hate to do this. Oh, Miss Janelle, I hate to do this. Please stop me if this is wrong. Please tell me I'm wrong, okay?
You're right, man.
Terrell has other incidents on his jacket.
Yes.
That would alarm me. And so I'm not buying that you're scared just based on the other incidents on your jacket. I'm sorry. Am I wrong, Miss Janelle?
No, because I understand why you think that. Okay. And couple this with the fact that if I'm scared, because the article states that they both got their orders, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the lead position. If I'm afraid, and I can get coffee or whatever anywhere, and I'm not even just talking about another franchise, I mean another store, whatever. There's another Starbucks close to where you are.
Yep.
I don't give a fuck where you are in America. If you're at Starbucks,
yes,
there's another one.
Yes.
So if I'm scared and I'm in the lead position, I ride out.
Yes.
Point blank, period. I leave the scene. I don't pick nothing up. They don't scan my phone. I don't get my points. I shoot off to the next Starbucks. They both got their orders. So that means that dude behind them wasn't even on that mode no more. Let me get this.
Right.
Let me get this piece of banana bread and this drink.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can't tell me that, because if I'm afraid and I've got the lead, then I'm putting myself in a position where I don't have to be afraid anymore. I'm not stopping to give the finger, brandish my gun, grab my drink.
Right. Right.
Nah. We not doing none of that.
The strawberry aside, lemonade ain't going to drink itself. Shit.
It's such a dumb incident all the way around.
Yes.
Because the fucking Starbucks and most drive-thrus, but definitely most Starbucks, have cameras everywhere.
Yep.
There was a point in time in which I know the one where I used to live back in Old Town, they were doing the video camera shit, so you could see the barista's face on the menu. Like at one point they were testing out, you know, like FaceTime features almost. Mm. Like you pull up and your barista's like, "Hey, Miss Neil," you know what I'm saying? It's cameras everywhere. This is not the time to brandish weapons. I just don't understand that. It just seems very, I don't know, short-sighted.
And when he goes to court, they're going to bring up all other incidents.
Domestic battery. They're going
to bring up that nigga 2012 season.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You, sir, this is you. These are your highlights. You were afraid?
You were afraid of this cat. You know what I mean?
Look at what you did to him. Look at what you did to this running back. You were afraid? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Shitty. Shitty, shitty, shitty. All right, let's move on. Dan Snyder donates his Maryland mansion after it fails to sell. This is some high-level tax shit right here, buddy.
Exactly. I was about to say, before y'all go and say that Dan did a noble move, not about that at all.
This some bury your ex-wife on your golf
golf course. This is some, I no longer want the liability of this property that I cannot sell.
Yep.
Here's a way to do this.
Slow.
That will save me. Nay, give me more money.
Right. Yeah. Right. Right. This is not noble at all. I don't know what the American Cancer Society is supposed to do with this estate.
Well, but there's a few things. Number one, you could turn into a hospice center. You can house folks in it. Or you can sell it for a more reasonable price because you're taking no loss. That's you know true. What I mean? Mm-hmm. But there's ways that it can help the American Cancer Society, and I'm, you know, it's a blessing for them. But this is not a pat Dan Snyder on the back type of situation.
No, this looks like one of those rich people hospices. Like this one of them things where this look like, you know, billionaires go here and die gracefully. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I could see Americans. I don't know about American Cancer Society's business practices all that well.
But I can see how I can go though.
I know what I would do if I was in charge of this donation, this property. Because stage five, Mr. Billionaire. We could put you in. We have a suite available in our Potomac Hospice. That's right on the water. You could live out the rest of your days in a serene atmosphere. We have masseuses that come and take care of you. Yeah, I know what I would do. But
okay, let's get Greece off the board of America.
can't be on the board. Not at all. Let's keep it moving. O.J. Simpson passed away this week. After his battle with cancer, dead at 76. A lot of people had some things to say, especially Caitlyn Jenner. And boy,
murdering ass Caitlyn.
Oh boy, did Caitlyn get her comeuppance? I saw a lot of comments.
A whole lot of this you.
This the same you that. How many people died when
footage from the fucking crime from the scene? Footage from the accident scene. It was bananas.
Kato Kaelin, who was a key witness during the OJ Simpson trial, just posted a video responding to the news, and he sends thoughts and prayers to OJ's children as well as the families of the victims, including Nicole Brown Simpson. That's all you have to do. That's literally it. Gloria Allred, who repped Nicole Brown Simpson's family during the trial, tells TMZ Simpson's death reminds us that the legal system, even 30 years later, is still failing battered women, and that the power of celebrity men to avoid true justice for the harm they inflict on their wives or significant others is still a major obstacle to the right of women to be free of the gender violence to which they are subjected. She adds, my heart goes out to the children of O.J. Simpson and to the very brave family of Nicole Brown Simpson. The truth about O.J. Simpson can never be erased and should never be forgotten. O.J. Simpson is dead. May his victims finally rest in peace. I don't know how I feel about those type of statements, but that's all I'm saying. I just don't know about the double backhanded rest in peace. You know what I'm saying? Like it's a double. It's kind of nasty. It felt nasty reading it. Let me put it like that.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, death is not a consequence for your behavior on Earth. Death is what is going to happen to us all. And to frame it like this is nasty work. And I'm not an OJ apologist or fan or anything like that.
Yes, yeah,
but you can always opt out of the public statement. And this. Because it does nothing. Like it does nothing for the victims that he's now dead. Like what are you suggesting here? But I think people become weirdos around death anyway. So
yeah, that's true.
I support it, man.
You support the hate?
I support it, man. If that's your op, take it to the grave, young. Get it back in blood. Whatever you got. You know what I'm saying?
I'm with that. Hey. I just don't need the don't rest in peace, nothing else though.
If it's up till I'm dead,
then make your whole statement be up till it's stuck till it's, you know what I'm saying? Like
motherfucker,
finally this bitch
cop.
Is dead. Right. You know what I'm saying? Finally, I've been waiting how many years for this motherfucker to die? Just lead with hate. Don't sugarcoat it. Don't say nothing about my kids. No. Just if you hating, just hate. Period.
Just keep the hatred raw and uncut.
What are we doing? My kids don't need to hear that bullshit.
Yeah.
Come on. That's crazy. All right, let's move on. Joyner Lucas confirms he dated Ashanti before she reconciled with Nelly. He says she's going to be an amazing mom. I don't know why we need Joyner's
This is bitch nigga shit. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to jump in, but this is bitch nigga shit.
Thank you. I was wondering what your position on that was when it came through the group chat, but thank you. All right. Cool. We on the same page.
You want to confirm? Yeah. See, this sounds like it might have got personal, C Major. You all right?
Oh, no.
This is classic bitch shit.
What did
this is classic bitch shit.
What did he turn into?
No. Because I can picture Major facing this hate, because when a person is off prospering, doing their thing, the motherfucker who wish it was them will always pop up and remind and let somebody know, you know, I was fucking with her. Nobody gives a fuck, Joyner. Nobody cares.
Yeah. So which one
that goes for your music too?
Damn. That part.
Which one of Lisa's exes hit you up and was like, congratulations, bruh. She's going to be a great mom. What would you do?
The funny thing is that it's not even a recent situation. This is on, like, a nigga came to me off some junk like that. What, like, bro, relax. Like, you don't even have to communicate to me, because what we got is not even
yeah.
So
this is up there. Fuck it, I'll tell you about what it is, and this shit was recent. This is up there with niggas wishing your dude happy birthday on your post.
Oh,
your
dude.
You hoping and you wishing and you praying that the realest nigga on earth is gonna ask me about who is this little nigga. And the thing is, he's so fucking real, he ain't gonna ask me about who is this little nigga. So, this is what this reminds me of.
Oh man.
yes, I called him the love of my life. Yes, he's the realest nigga in the world. Yes, shit. All of those things. I'm sorry. I just hate shit like this because I've been a victim.
Shout out to Mr. Salute. He's a real one. For real. Let me tell you what Gerasmo would have been like. Gerasmo would have been right under that comment. Fingers would have been.
I never seen no one text like that. What device?
Where's the device?
And another motherfucking thing. Like, she would have. Yeah, the maturity levels of your gentleman is on. He's on 100. Yeah, love that shit. Yeah, because the hate be real out here. Yeah. Motherfuckers really be thinking that they gonna turn the tides with some false hate shit. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, all right. That's all it was. Do better, Joyner.
That's all I had for Jai News. I know we had more stories in there. Was there anything that you want? Oh, we definitely got to talk about this. I'm sorry, because anytime the HBCUs is kicking out excellence like this, we definitely got to talk about it. I don't think I've ever looked forward to a Olympic season like this upcoming one. You got Sha'Carri Redemption on redemption mode. You got a number of black gymnasts making the team. You got a number of black athletes in various sports that they have never participated in before. I'm all in for the Olympics this summer. And I haven't been for quite some time, but I'm going to be keeping tabs on this. The representation is looking really good. Even in the cycling world, there's a couple of black cyclists from all over the country that are going to be participating. I'm keeping tabs. I'm loving this shit. And let's get right into this, Jai News article, which is HBCU gymnast Morgan Price wins national title, makes history. Fisk University's Morgan Price, part of the first HBCU gymnastics team, made history by winning the United States Gymnastics Collegiate National title. This is dope. Congratulations to her. Congratulations to Fisk. I want to see more of this. I think we had stories earlier in the year about other HBCUs entering sports that traditionally were not, they hadn't participated in. I want to say Howard swim team is coming along. There's other gymnastics teams that have been developed in recent years. So this is really dope. Congratulations to Morgan.
Fisk's, their gymnastics program is a year old. Like you said, Grease, we got HBCUs getting into figure skating. Swimming is on the come up. Gymnastics is on the come up. What I love about this, what makes this story even more delicious, is it shows young athletes that there's value in going to an HBCU. We're seeing a lot of historically white colleges and universities tripping and flipping on their DEI stances, removing scholarships, things of that nature. I want black athletes to realize and recognize that you can go to a black school, still end up in the NCAA tournament. You can go to a black school, still shine, still get national recognition, still end up on television. Take our talent away from these white institutions if they're going to play games. Mm-hmm. But I love this. I love this for Fisk. I love this for Morgan. This is a great step. And, you know, people be talking about, you know, when cats in the hood start going and getting into these organized gymnastics programs, they'll take over the sport. And it's real shit because gymnastics is very expensive. And if you can go to school and get a full ride doing that, the natural talent that is in our community is astronomical. Mm-hmm. If more people do this and participate, men and women, the sport is going to look very different. They're going to try to change the rules because we see it with Simone Biles already. They're talking about her tumbles and her tricks are too difficult. We about to change the game entirely. I love this. I love this for us.
Absolutely. Tennis as well. A lot more. I'm seeing a lot of tennis facilities just outside of the city where I live. I love that because, yes, because I could catch the martyr there. I could get there. And a lot of programs that Big Soda is sponsoring have to do with giving access to the kids in the city. They're doing a lot of work. And other businesses in the city, not just Big Soda, but other businesses in the city are doing a lot of work to make sure that the people who are in the city who are being affected by, let's just call it what it is, the gentrification of the city, are still allowed and able to participate in camps and trainings to the same degree as their white counterparts. So shout out to the people who are working at businesses who understand that this is a thing that needs to be raised. And for any big company out there, if you have a team of folks that are like-minded, they're always willing to throw, like we just talked about Dan Snyder with the tax break for donating. There's tax breaks for these big companies. If you can find the right program to get them to donate money to, it's advantageous to them as well as to the community that they're a part of. So yes, absolutely. Love that.
Sorry we're boring you, Major.
Yeah.
Hey, no, go ahead. No, <that's you.
laughs> Oh shit. I think that I believe is the last I wanted to mention. Let me just scroll up one more time. We'll see. We'll leave Uzi alone. Let that man vogue. You've already touched on Duke getting rid of their scholarships for black students, so we won't get into that. Cool. Let's go ahead and get to the touchy subject.
All right, y'all. The subject not too touchy. Just a question. You know, I often go to social media to get my articles, and in my quest, I come across many subjects, and dating is often part of that discourse. And I learned of this phenomena that a lot of black women are saying that they've never been on real dates. So I want to ask y'all, what was you all's dating life like? Do you feel like you had a real and proper dating life? And what are some takeaways that you have from, just so we can, this is something new to me because I've been on dates, but I'm seeing that a lot of people are, you know, I know that the culture is now about linking. Just, y'all see the gray hair. I don't know what the youth them are about, but what has y'all experience been with dating, and what can y'all possibly offer to some people listening who might not have experienced it or are experiencing the shittiness of dating currently?
Ooh, I'll go first, C Major. Dating men, there was usually a meetup. You know, we would meet at a spot, determine if we really liked each other. And depending on, you know, mutual satisfaction, we would sit and have dinner or, you know, take the evening to a movie spot. I've gone on skating dates. I've done stuff that I tried in the, especially for the first date, to do things that are, that allow us to get to know each other, that we could still talk or communicate through. But they were very few and far between. Mm-hmm. A lot of my interaction with men were, I'm trying to see you tonight. So I kind of understand that that narrative that's out there about not being on real dates, because it the get to it is always at the front of the conversation. At least it has been in my past. It's only been, I can count on maybe one hand how many guys actually wanted to go out and sit down or actually, you know, participate in what a real date would be. As far as the women I've dated, I've always kind of led the charge in setting up the date. So, and my thing was, yeah, I want to have a conversation, but I did notice that some of the women that I was dating had no experience in that area and really was about, you know, going to the carry out, grabbing something to eat, and then coming back to the
cribbo.
Yeah. So it's like, I get it. I kind of get it. It's wacky to me. Mm-hmm. I feel like for me, once I've advanced past the point of we're just dating or talking and we're in an actual relationship, that's when the dates really get nice to me. Like that's when I'm willing to, you know, I'm spending a little bit more. I'm really fucking with our conversations. We're getting to know each other, really getting in tune. It feels good to be around you. I'm thinking about you all the time. It makes me want to present more creative ways for us to spend our time together. So for me, that's how it went. But I kind of can see both sides of the coin there.
I don't know what these hood boogers is out here going through. I went on dates. And I didn't consider linking up with the carry out in the front of the whip just to get busy in the back of the whip as the date. We was just hungry and we linked up to smash, but we was just hungry and was like, all right, let's, you know what I'm saying? So it was never really, you know, like, I never hit her up the day after. Did you enjoy the date last night? Like it was so.
Some yeah, good wings last night.
Hey, hey, let me tell you, we should tip the waiter next time.
tip the waiter on carry out wings is bananas.
But yeah, so I mean, it wasn't really. Yeah, I never really moved off that type of method to even consider that as a date or offer that those type of meetings as dates as well. Yeah, so I can't really relate to I guess is this my generation or I don't.
No, I think this is slightly. I think you're still considered millennial.
So okay. Yeah, so this okay. Might be the people so this a little is, this under is Z struggling.
Oh yeah. Get used to it. Oh, no, yeah, no. That's he's lying. Those aren't dates. Those
I mean, but it also makes sense because the cost of going out on a date is expensive. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. You got to set the level of expectation. Like, it depends on what your expectation is. Like, but there's level of expectation for somebody in their 20s. I don't necessarily expect someone in their 20s to have the disposable income to spend on, you know, a date that is, like, I expect to, ladies or gentlemen, for that matter, in that age group, take me to Longhorn. Take me to Applebee's. I'm good. I know how to order off of any menu to make it legit, especially if the whole point of this date is for us to get to know each other. I'm not expecting no table linens and shit like that at that stage.
But I also think a big piece of it too, and I can only speak as a Black person, but like, I know coming up, the concept of dating was always taboo because parents linked it to sex. Like, just think, you know, like, be like, oh no, you can't have a boyfriend. You can't go on no dates till you 16. Then it's 17. Then it's 18. Then it's when you out the house or whatever.
Then it's 30. Right.
Right. And you know, I remember being in high school and dudes being like, can I take you to the game on Friday? And we'll go to McDonald's afterwards because we're children. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And having that experience. And I think that a lot of young people are getting robbed of even those experiences. You know, let's meet at the mall and go to the movies or meet at, what are they now? What are the town centers?
Yeah.
Whatever. There town centers. And go, you know, I think a lot of people are being robbed in that way. And I know that, like, what you get trained up with is kind of how you move in adulthood. And I know, like, for me as an adult, every dude that I've claimed, we started out on a proper first date. An intentional first date. Like, oh, I've got this plan. I'm picking you up this time, or I'm meeting you here at this time, and we're doing something. And granted, I've had people where, you know, I've always been of the mind that not everybody is for the keeping. So there's been dudes who I'd be like, yo, I'm stopping over here, get some rib tips and rice, and I'm trying to come and get that work. Do you want something? Or
Wait a minute, hold on, C Major. Has a youngin ever said to you, "It's a spot by your crib that serves some really good rib tips and rice"? So I was headed that way. Yeah. Do you mind?
Can I get broken off?
Can you bust it down? And oh, by the way, do you want some of these?
I'll get you something too for the break off.
Not that specific order of rib tips. Yeah, well, the rib tips and rice is crazy. I'm about to say, not that specific item. And it never was, oh shit, I'm gonna be in this area anyway. Let me hit up C. Like, yeah, that's.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's how. Like, it was just, you know, shout out to. Oh man, he's gone too. The owner of Lucky Star. Like, it was. I like the Lucky Star fish sandwich, and I had some work around that area, but the only reason I would be over there is to get the fish sandwich. Like, I don't have other reason to be in the Addison Road corridor. Yeah, but since I'm coming out here to get this fish.
Yeah.
Nigga, you up? Nigga, you home? So you have that. You know what I mean? I've never looked to any of them cats as like a potential we get to know. But everybody that I've wanted to get to know, I've had a proper date with.
I had some Spanish work over there by El Pollo Rico in Arlington.
Yeah, like that's very different. Yeah. But I think that people don't separate that, you know what I mean?
I'm with you. When you said it like that, I was like, you actually did have some work by El Pollo Rico.
Yeah, but they lump it all up into dating. Yeah, and I know that for me, dating has always been for people that I've been intentional about. But
gotcha.
Good luck to the kids, though.
Man, tell me about it. Yeah.
And parents, talk to your kids about dating. Talk to your kids about courting. Talk to them about, you know, planning a date, taking someone out, being intentional about setting up something. how to act. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Etiquette out there, you know.
And both, you know, we taught both our son and our daughters about being respectful. You know, and understanding that we're not the parents that we would go somewhere expensive and not take our kids. We weren't those parents.
Mm-hmm.
We would always bring them with us. Like, you're going to experience fine dining as well as, you know, the franchises, as well as the mom and pop hole in the walls. Like, we took them everywhere with us.
Yeah.
But it was always, when we would have these dinners, we would always talk to them about, you know, this is a special occasion. This menu is, you know, it's a little on the pricier side. So don't go out in the world expecting that you're going to get this off the break. Like, mm-hmm. you got to understand where you at in different parts of your life. So we started out at Red Robin, like, keep it funky. Mm-hmm. Like, our first mm-hmm. family outing was Red Robin.
Right.
I could Red Robin you to death back then. As the money grew, then we started to bring them to, you know, the seafood restaurants and the steak houses and the chop houses and stuff mm-hmm. like that, for them to get a full experience. Cause we also didn't want any of our kids to be wowed by some shit and feel like they are.
That's real shit. Yeah.
So I was wild. And think that somebody is the one just because you're getting some silverware in front of you. Nah.
Yeah, no.
Small shit.
We've been here before and we know how to act. And actually, I've been here several times with my family, so I know the seafood tower is probably out of your range, but yeah, I'll stick to the scampi today, sir.
Right.
Yeah. That's good shit. Good touchy subject, Ms. Janelle. Appreciate it as always. Thank you all for listening to our show. But I have to kick y'all backs in a little bit, because Ms. Janelle has asked y'all. Ms. Janelle's been trying to give y'all lunch, and nobody's listening.
Nobody's listening.
Nobody's paying attention. And I feel a certain way because I'm seeing the money trickle in from Patreon. Understand, I said trickle.
Mm-hmm.
Trickling mm-hmm. in. Covering some of the costs, not all of the costs. So some of y'all are on, a lot of y'all are available. There's a good group of y'all that are able to answer Ms. Janelle's question. I will repost it on the social medias this week. We will try again.
Yeah.
But y'all are failing us.
And y'all know, I just said I'd be on social media, so I know the rule. I've seen all the shit where people talk about, what? This motherfucker sent me $20 for lunch. That's crazy. So I'm not even going to bullshit y'all for the lunch. You know what I mean? I'm not sending y'all to get a 4 for $4. We trying to do it big because it's all love.
It's all love.
Hey, man.
You gotta answer, okay? We've been how many weeks deep in this? This is about a month now, right?
Yeah, man.
So we're 4 weeks. Ms. Janelle has debuted and presented different MC names. You need to list all of them now. We're not making it easy for you now. It's been 4 weeks. Now you need to respond to the social media posts. And I'm gonna put it out there tonight. We need all of Ms. Janelle's rapper names. I will throw in an extra $50 if you can also tell us where C Major has been reporting live from the past 3 weeks. So all of Ms. Janelle's rapper names for the past 4 weeks. And I want to say C Major's been reporting live for the past 2 weeks. I'll go double check that. I need at least two. I'll put it like this. I need at least two places C Major has reported live. At least two places. But I need all of Miss Janelle's rapper names, because this has been going on for way too long. So you got to do some work.
They're just sleeping. I don't get it.
So an extra 50 on top for where C Major has been reporting live from. At least two locations for that. Ms. Janelle's buying you lunch for all of her rapper names. Come on. What are we doing? Y'all not rich. I see some of y'all timelines. Some of y'all have been posting grill shots. Y'all grills is a little rusty. You could use a little bit of this money. I'm just saying.
Damn, I need to enter.
If Major come with a dummy account.
If this Cash App is not C Major,
no. Yeah.
At not C Major.
Well, I'd respect it though.
I would. I had to kick him to 50 because he is one of the grills that I'd snicker to myself. I'm like, he know better. No better. Cover that grill up.
Yeah, just post the aftermath in the little trays.
Don't show the rust hole developing in the bottom of your shit. Shout out to everybody that listens on a regular basis. We really appreciate those of you who can participate in Patreon. You have the rules. Do it. We willing to buy you lunch and kick in an extra 50. So get to it. Those of you who cannot participate in Patreon, we are not shaming you. Continue to listen. We appreciate all listeners. And we want to continue the show. But those who participate in Patreon, we got to give them a little something.
Yeah.
Because they the ones keeping they keeping three of the lights on. So we want to give them a little extra for that. As always, you can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Reels and Fills. You can find me at T Greasy on Instagram and Twitter.
I'm Devious Dose.
You can find me on Twitter at C Major PUHCEE. That's CEE Major PUHCEE. You can find me on IG at C Major. That's CEE Major. Fuck that UK nigga. Hit the link in both those bios. Get into everything.
Thank you for listening. We'll see you again next week.